Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. On this Tuesday, the 7th of May, you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello.
I was just thinking.
No.
Yeah, I do. Occasionally.
I thought it was getting warm in here.
I'll tell you why.
Why?
I've just had my thyroid tablet, so...
Thyroid? Yeah. I didn't know you had a thyroid
problem. Cranking up the brain.
You've never mentioned it.
A little bit of nature throwing.
You never mentioned it in the last 5 minutes.
I just thought I should drop it into the conversation.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking, I don't know what you think, listener, but bank holidays should be banned, really, because they're so lovely. You get sort of into 3 days of debauchment, don't you? Not having to get up and staying up later.
Well, at this time of year, we've kind of got a bit spoiled, haven't we? Because we had Easter, there's two bank holidays in May, so it's all kind of... and then everybody goes, do you know what? There's no productivity in this country because everybody's off work. That's why.
But, you know, it made you realise because it's got quite wintry again, hasn't it? I've got my boots on and things.
Yeah, yeah.
And I noticed you're wearing a little muffler today.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I've got ski boots on under here.
Yeah. I mean, you need it, but your thermals, you need gilet.
Yeah.
But it's not
a yellow one, though.
No, not a yellow one. That would be too much.
No, you get it over the head if you're wearing a yellow one, don't you?
Do you? Yeah, over the head?
Yeah, by the old gendarmes.
Oh, do you?
I'm saying they've gone a bit mad in Paris at the moment, been beating everyone up.
Yeah, mais oui, that's true.
Yeah, Monge too.
Being a bit difficult. Mont Sange.
Yeah.
Don Larb.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say before you went off about
before
Paris,
your monkey was up a tree,
before it was up a tree, is that what I think with the rough bits where the weather gets like that and it starts getting windy and everybody moans, and goes, God, because I've got all my summer things out. I was wearing a little summer jumpsuit in Easter and flip flops. So
you were wearing what? A summer jumpsuit?
Little jumpsuit and flip-flops.
A jumpsuit? Yeah, the mind boggles.
A lot of fab in it.
The mind boggle, I bet. Yeah, yeah. Was that your JPS one?
No, I can't get into that. I can't even get that on my ankle, let alone on. That was in the old days, listener. But so where was I? Oh, yeah, I was saying that when you have that hot, balmy Easter, I mean, we spent the whole 4 days just barbecuing lamb.
Well, do you know, when you get these things on Facebook where it was your anniversary?
Yeah.
Well,
you popped up anniversary.
Yeah, but over this weekend, there was a load of anniversary ones about a party we had at my house last May bank holiday with all the kids in the swimming pool. Yeah, and it just shows you in the space of 1 year the difference in the weather. Yeah,
no, I missed that one. I'll have a look. But what I saw was my Facebook told me I had an anniversary with my new husband, which is true.
And me.
Yeah. Somehow there was a lovey-dovey picture of you and Gavin gazing and mooning into each other's faces. How did he get on there?
Yeah, exactly.
What I was saying before you went off on a tangent is that you have the highs and the lows. So we had that balmy Easter, didn't we? And then you get the freezing, and it just makes you appreciate the balmy Easter, doesn't it?
But the weather in this country has always been like that. I remember when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, me and some mates, we went away to Bournemouth for the weekend at Easter.
Was it Pontins?
No. We stayed in a caravan.
All right, sweet.
We arrived in Bournemouth on Good Friday, and we went swimming in the sea, and it was great.
Wow.
Yeah? By Easter Monday, it was actually snowing on the beach.
Yeah.
So in the space of 3 days, it went from being able to swim to snow.
You used to get quite a lot of that in the 1800s, though, down there, didn't you?
Yeah, when the Thames froze over and we all skated on it. Yeah, exactly.
I remember my first holiday when I was about 15 was Pontins. And there's four girls went.
Really?
And we all got off with four boys. Very sweet. We only kissed and held hands, you know, in those days.
It's never got better since then.
Not really. Don't even kiss anymore. But Pontins, that was like the highlight of my life. Going
Pontins,
to Pontins,
yeah, yeah.
And it was quite cloudy.
Did you aspire to be a redcoat? Did you?
Yeah, did you?
Yeah, okay.
But I've actually got a picture of me with a redcoat. You know, calling me his holiday princess. You wouldn't do that now.
In fact, there's a photograph on our wall in the middle there of Linda Reagan.
Linda was the
love interest in Heidi High.
Oh, right. Yeah. I can see it with Brian Murphy and David Barry there on the photo.
Well, Linda was the yellow coat in Heidi High.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. But anyway, it has got, I got hailed on twice over the bank holiday.
Did you?
But what I'm trying...
A bit like a cab.
Yeah, really. hailed on. See what you did there? But what I was saying was it has got inclement.
It has, yeah.
Yeah.
So, it has.
Yeah. A little bit. And it,
anyway, that was a nice discussion about the weather.
Yeah.
You can tell we're British, can't you?
Who might our sponsor be?
I've completely forgotten, and I haven't. It's the lovely folks at Helping Hand. Oh. And Helping Hand are early years consultants.
Yeah.
They help people running nursery schools and young people learning. Becca and her team are really fantastic. They're very knowledgeable about all things to do with nursery and young people. So do check them out. If you go to Kempis Radio website, there is a link to the Helping Hand website on our homepage. So do check them out.
I remember because she was on the show that I was on, and yeah, she's absolutely passionate, isn't she?
Totally passionate, amazing, totally dedicated, and incredibly knowledgeable.
And looks like a top model. I mean, really,
yeah,
it's not
which
fair.
Is a bonus. But yeah. but the fact is, she's very, very knowledgeable about running nurseries and the business and regulatory requirements.
Yeah.
She's saved quite a few nurseries.
She sorts
from
them out. She just goes in, and when the inspector comes, she's got all the stuff
everything's
sorted
out. So do check them out. Fantastic. So thank you to them. We'd like to hear from you, though, the businesses out there in the southeast of England. Come on, you lot, you're being really tardy. We used to get over a trillion emails, and now we're down in the billions, which is no good at all, is it?
But you know what I've said? It's because bank holiday, they're all still asleep.
They're all still sleepy and fighting off hangovers and stuff. We have had some tweets, but I need more. Come on, tweet me.
Lisa Marie's in China, isn't she?
She's about to walk the wall. Lisa Marie Settle from Telcare. Telcare have tweeted. We'll read that out later. But Lisa Marie has just departed for China, where she's going to walk the Great Wall of China in aid of charity.
I'll tell you what, we have had a tweet from Athelbrey Limited, and they say, ooh, yes, please, Business Bunker Jules Serkin, no mention of you. They say Katie, I think that's their Labrador, isn't it? I think it's their Labrador.
I think Katie's their daughter.
Oh, okay. Kate is walking 100,000 steps in 7 days for guide dogs. Oh, there's the Labrador interest there. At guide dogs, that's a Twitter handle, starting this Friday. Any donations are very gratefully received via Just Giving page, which is justgiving.com/fundraising/Kate, I think.
Hold on, I should tell you.
Office Junior Jaffa, that's the Labrador, will be assisting on some of the steps. Some. I mean, Labradors, he'll stop for a sandwich every couple of 100 miles. You know what Labradors are like.
Hmm.
No doubt he'll go swimming.
So it's justgiving.com/Kate Merrin, M-E-R-R-I-N.
Okay, that sounds really good. My microphone's fading in and out. I might move.
No, that's because you moved.
No, it's not.
It was. You were sitting back. I was watching you.
And then the Corner House, I'll crouch over it. Corner House Restaurants, they're saying secrets revealed in our new cookbook, released mid-May, as to how the chefs create one of our most popular starters, the famous chicken liver parfait. I'm going there on Thursday with my lovely mother, who's 88.
Are you?
Is that the fire thing?
Huh?
Is that the fire thing?
It's what the fire thing?
Yeah, there's an alarm. I hope we don't have to go out in the middle of Business Bunker. We say we're not going. We're not leaving.
There's no alarm going off in here, so it's probably downstairs.
Yeah, we're not leaving anyway. We can't. Who else you got?
So while we're doing some tweets, so I'll do another couple. The Romney Resource Centre. Have you ever wanted to trace your family tree? The Romney Resource Centre is running a 3-week course on family trees, starting on May the 10th and continuing on the 17th and 24th. If you want to find out more, romney-resource.co.uk/courses. So do check that out. So do tweet us. Tweet me at Vanilla Whip. Please use the hashtag BBunker. If you don't want to tweet us, you could call us on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035. Or you can email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk. Drop me an email. We'd love to hear from you, so do get in touch. But by far and away, the easiest way is to tweet me. Tweet me at Vanilla Whip and use the hashtag BBunker. I think what we'll do now, we'll play a bit of music, a bit of Brick in the Wall. How about that?
No dark side. firms of accountants. Everybody's got.
We'll do. Let's read a couple of emails.
Sounding a bit puffed.
Yeah, well, I was running up the stairs.
I'm doing the temperature and it's hot. It's probably that, the set of fire alarm.
Yeah, it's probably that. The heating. Somebody turned the air conditioning off earlier. Mentioning no names.
No, but then we turned it on again.
Hmm. Anyway, while you're doing that, I want to tell you about something that's coming up at the end of this month. And this is a brilliant, brilliant event. I think I'm right in saying this is the third year running of this event, and I've been to all of them, and they've all been brilliant, and they've all got better and better and better. It's ZC Live.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's happening on the 31st of May, and it's happening at the Strood Academy. And ZC team are super excited and have lined up an amazing agenda, and they're kind of revealing the agenda as they go along. The brilliant thing is it's totally and utterly free to attend.
And there's not much you can get for free nowadays.
True. It starts off with a ZC Live breakfast from 8 until 9 o'clock. And then during the day, there's going to be workshops on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, LinkedIn and Twitter. There's also speakers, and so far the announced speakers, there are more, but the announced speakers are obviously Zoe Cairns, international TV star and digital maven and guru. David Pepper, who is one of the senior people at Twitter, Kevin Thorpe from Big Jam Studios, Andy Lambert, who's the chief executive of Content Cow, and Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, who's the chief executive of Orchard Employment Law. And they will be other speakers, which they will be announcing in due course. It's totally free to attend. It's at the Strood Academy. It's on the 31st of May. And if you want to book your free tickets, if you go to eventbrite.co.uk/ZC Live 2019. ZC Live 2019. Be there. See you there.
McBride staff have been inspired to raise funds for Jimmy, and the staff at McBride's, who are chartered accountants, have handed over a cheque for $7,700 today, which must be another day, I don't think it's today, to Barry and Margaret Mizzen, who are parents of Jimmy Mizzen, who 11 years ago went out to buy a lotto ticket and never came home. Jimmy was the victim of an unprovoked attack near his home in Lewisham, southeast London. And Barry and Margaret and Jimmy's siblings have formed the For Jimmy charity to help spread a message of peace, hope and forgiveness while working tirelessly to help create safer communities for young people. And for Jimmy, For Jimmy coordinates this work. And the staff at McBride's were touched by Barry and Margaret Mizzen's drive and spirit and resolved to put their heads together and raise funds through 2018 and 19 by holding events such as race night, cake sales, and taking part in the 10 years for Jimmy 21 Bridges Walk in May last year. And receiving the cheque from the staff at McBride's, Margaret Mizzen said, "We're so grateful to McBride's and are touched by their generosity. And days like this give us hope, and it's very important to have hope." So a sad story there, but a positive fundraising event there from McBride's Chartered Accountants.
Fantastic, thank you. Do you want to read another one?
Yeah. So we've got...
Hold on, you've moved mics.
Yeah, because that one's playing about.
Yeah, but that one wasn't switched on.
Oh, right.
That one, the black one's fine.
Turn me on then.
You're on now.
So venues and expos, events, Expo Southeast, which is at the Kent Event Centre, and that's Thursday the 9th of May. It's 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and they say, are you looking for a great event for your next meeting or away day or a summer party or a team building event? Then you need to join us at the Venues and Expos Southeast, a one-day exhibition with 80 fabulous venues and event suppliers from throughout the southeast of England, London and beyond. They have a variety of talks from industry experts and some informative workshops. So for the seminars, they have CEO Mike Piddock from Glissa, and he'll be sharing event tech and how to get the best audience engagement at your event with or without tech. Founder of the Great British Speakers, Jane Farnham, will be sharing choosing the best speakers for your events and working with them. And Google partner and founder, AM Marketing, Amy McManus, will be sharing insider information on how to promote your events and venue online with her talk, "Hey Google, how do I get people to my event?" And there'll also be CEO of Maximum Media, Ben Abbott, who'll be sharing the importance of good social media coverage before, during and after your event. And the workshops, there'll be Mark Kingston Jones and his team at Team Building with Byte. He'll be hosting a fully interactive workshop and will literally be giving you the power tools to network while making puzzle feeders for capuchin monkeys.
Capuchin.
They're those sweet little ones, aren't they?
I don't know. I've never ate one, so yeah. I don't know.
No, cute.
Crunchy.
Cute ones.
Crunchy.
Yeah. They're those cute monkeys, aren't they? With the faces. There'll also be the lovely Chives caterers, my dear friends Deborah and Graham Green, fabulous canapes and bubble workshop, sharing the importance of good catering at your event, and, of course, some little samples, what's not to like there. And then the MD Paul Bishop of UK Mobile Bars and his team will be hosting several cocktail masterclasses. Had a lovely Bellini rhubarb cocktail yesterday. Very pleasant.
With ants.
Yes, with ants, with added wood ants.
Wood ants, wooden ants.
At the venue of Slopov in June the 7th. Anybody who's interested, networking over lunch at, where is it? Small Holding with Will Devlin and me. Also, Helen Moon of Event Well and her team will be hosting a health and well-being workshop, sharing tips and hacks to keep you at maximum health when organising and running events. Please go to venueseventexpo.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you for that.
I'm going to move back to this.
Oh, well,
I think it's my headphones.
It is your headphones, because there was nothing wrong with the black mic in the first place.
No, it's my headphones. They're going in and out. Never mind. I'll carry on.
Good. Soldier on. That's what I would do
if I
were you.
I will.
Good. I've had the tweeters have now caught up with us and it gave them a breathing space to get their tweets together, which is great. So while we were outside playing with the fire alarms, they've been tweeting. The lovely folks at Racing Events have been on. interested in Formula One, they say. We have one room stroke two places to our F1 tour to Abu Dhabi. On November the 26th to December the 3rd. So if you're an F1 fan and you fancy going to Abu Dhabi...
I'm off.
Are you going as well? You're allowed to go, Vanessa?
Yes, I'm allowed to go.
He's allowed you to go,
so you're going to that event?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Excellent.
It's Vanessa's husband that's running the event.
Oh, friends in high places.
Yeah, yeah.
So I am allowed to go.
Yeah. I wish my new husband would do something like that.
Yeah. Well, if you want to find out about joining Vanessa in Abu Dhabi for an early Christmas... it's racingevents.info. Do check that out. What a thing
to do. That would be a nice birthday present for someone, wouldn't it, as well?
It would,
treat. Mm. So when is it? What's the date?
It's the last week.
It's November the 26th to December the 3rd.
Abu Dhabi is supposed to be one of the nicest, quite green, from what I've... Because I've been to Dubai and Qatar, but I've never been to Abu Dhabi or Saudi. My new husband went to Saudi and saw a beheading there.
You lived in Cairo, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I lived in Cairo. Yeah. Ana tkellem Arabi. So you could take me along as your translator. Ana tkellem Arabi.
Yeah.
Okay. Ana tkellem Arabi.
She's not saying anything.
I used to be a JPS girl in my youth. I used to drive...
Well, you've had to be JPS. I haven't been in Formula One for 40 years.
I used to drive a Team Lotus Esprit was my company car. Mm. Very nice. Black and gold. Yeah,
I've just got a Peugeot.
Well, why not?
Good stuff. Lovely. So if you want to do that, do get in touch with Gary at racingevents.info.
What's the date? You said something about Christmas.
I said an early Christmas. It's November the 26th to December the 3rd.
Great, just when it's all cold and bleak here.
Yeah.
See me after and we'll hook it up.
She's going to come.
Yeah,
She's going to do it. Oh,
yeah,
dear.
I am.
Anyway, do you know what? I'd rather like to talk to a sensible person.
I would.
Yeah.
After all this fire alarm shenanigans.
I know. We've been up and down the stairs and all kinds. Yeah. So it's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the very first time onto the Business Bunker Show, the lovely Lucia Dello. Lucia, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Paul.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show. Lucia is from Dello Data Analytics, and that's a new company that you've recently launched, is it not?
It is. It's brand new. It launched in the end of February.
Fantastic. So it really is brand new, yeah. So let's, where should we start? Let's start by telling the listener what Dello Data Analytics does, because a lot of people might just think you're talking about web analytics or stuff like that, and you're not, are you? It's much broader than that.
That's right, Paul. Yep. So what I'm trying to do is help businesses unlock the value within their data. For the last 4 years, I've also run a bookkeeping business. Right. I've been there collecting all the data, but common to all my clients, they kind of want to build reports that they understand. And secondly, that data that they're collecting it they could use to make decisions, but they can't actually get to the point of being able to use that data. So I'm helping companies build, set up business data dashboards, build reports, build forecasts to allow them to really understand what's happening, pick it down, and then actually work on the issues they want to. So I can very much take big data sets. By background, I'm a data analyst working at the big bank, so I'm used to working with large amounts of data, various sources, trying to manipulate it, combine it to actually lead to a solution or help someone understand something, measure it, do make a change, measure it again. So it's a very much an iterative process with the business.
Fantastic. So let's kind of deconstruct that. Because in my experience in business, the vast majority of small businesses haven't got a clue about where they are in their business. They don't know what their data is. They don't know how much money they got in the bank. They don't know how much they're owed. They don't know who their good customers are. And they certainly don't know who their bad customers are. And I've seen lots of businesses persevere with customers that are big customers that actually don't make them any money and actually cause them untold grief. So one of my big things is when I'm talking to businesses, especially startup businesses, is talking about knowing the basic numbers behind your business. And that's effectively what you're doing, isn't it? Is pulling all of their numbers together and putting them into a usable format that's easy for non-accountants to understand.
Yes, and it's meaningful to them because they've said what they want to appear in it, how they want it to look. I've got to use their terms. They might call it sales, they might call it income, they might call it revenue. So I've tried to put it into their language and so they can actually use it.
Do you know, my business is reasonably large, so I employ bookkeepers and accountants and stuff, and I've got a finance director and all the rest of it. Amanda, my lovely partner, was doing her tax return, which I don't do. I just give it to an accountant to do mine, so I've never really done one. And she was going, what's this mean then? I was like, see, it can't be that difficult. Let me have a look. HMRC are one of the worst at using the same term to describe two completely different things. They started talking about business expenses. Yeah. And I went, well, that's obvious. It's anything that you spend on a business. And she was going, well, no, I've already done that. Yeah. Somewhere else. They're now asking me about expenses incurred. And when I looked, they were using the same term to describe two completely different things. And you find that quite a lot, don't you?
Yeah.
And it's very.
They seem to not use our language, like a lot of techie things, actually. You sort of like dealing with, I find dealing with web designers, and sometimes they just use different jargon.
I mean, if you ask people to produce management accounts, they'd normally, they look at you and go, what? The management accounts tends to be the contents of a shoebox delivered at the end of the year, most often than not. So what inspired you to set up doing this, Lucia?
Well, it was always my plan, because before I set up my own business, I then worked for years working at the big banks, building societies, monitoring lending to individuals. So I worked with big data sets, as well as actually doing all the policy and building the models. I also then work with the product teams. So I always had that in my background. And I just got tired of working on a computer system way away from people, but I actually want to work more with businesses. Set up the bookkeeping, thought I'll do bookkeeping and analytics together.
Right.
But in reality, there's so much demand for bookkeeping that I just got swamped with bookkeeping and I was never getting to the analytics. I was only doing bits and pieces for the business I was bookkeeping for. So in the end, I thought, actually, I think there's really got legs in this. I think it's something I could, help a lot of businesses with. So I split it.
Without a doubt.
I joined a mentoring program, actually a group mentoring program, which really helped me to actually get on top of what I wanted to do and make the changes.
Okay. So with I'm assuming you're dealing mostly with small SMEs?
Yes.
Yeah. So with an average kind of SME, and I know there's no such thing as an average SME, what's the kind of data that you think they need to know most? You're pulling this into a dashboard of some kind, yeah?
Yep.
Which you've designed, and you can, as you said, you can label it to suit their needs so that they understand it.
Yep.
What's the kind of data that people are looking at or need to look at?
They definitely need to be really on top before they get to the sales. They need to actually look at their customers, who's working for them, what their ideal customer is. So when they've got an idea of their ideal customer, the ideal spend per customer, then they can actually then start actually working where they're getting those people through the businesses. So if they've got in their head an idea of what their business should look like, who they should be targeting, who they want to work with, and then I can then help them translate that.
So are you saying you can do kind of what if experiments with this? So you could say, look, this is the pattern that we see that we should be looking for, and therefore by creating this data set, this is the kind of thing we should be targeting.
Yes, for example, you could say if I change my marketing strategy and introduce a new promotion and I expect to attract these people, then we can look at the period before it, the period after it, have those people come through showing what we thought they would, and if not, why hasn't it happened?
Wow.
You know, what caused that?
Okay.
Just had a, sorry, Paul, I've just had a comment on the live feed, and so on the video, and Neville Gaunt says it would be really good and needed for pre-startups too, to get them ready. Do you agree with that?
I do, and I see it when I start booking people in Faversham. There's a lot of very creative people who've always worked in their industry, very good at it, decide to set up their own business, and they're suddenly absolutely saying, I need to do all these things, I've never done them before, please help me.
Yeah.
So I set them up, help them set up their own bookkeeping, get it working for them, and then they can go along, you know, and run it pretty much themselves.
Mm. Absolutely. And Neville makes a very good point. He didn't say this, I'm saying this. As an angel investor, I see lots of people that come at me with business plans, and I've seen more reality in a episode of Jack and Ori than the average business plan, because you normally get a business plan that says, this is our idea. In year one, we make £1,000 of sales. In two, we make £1 million. And in three, we make £4 million. And in five, and you go, really? Really? There's no analysis around that. It's just a guess. And it's just, you know, what would be really nice. And it, at the most basic level, it's there's 1 million people in the country that might buy my product. Therefore, if we sold to 100,000 of them, we'd make £1 million. And, of course, life doesn't work like that at all.
No.
So it sounds like a lot of the analytical work that you're doing, as Neville says, could plug into the actual planning phase of a startup business to add some reality to what they're doing.
Absolutely, because you'll never, you know, no matter how good a modeler you are, you'll never get it right.
Yeah.
But if you've got an educated guess based on your assumptions and you've documented those, then when you do actually go live, you can then measure how you are against it and understand what's worked, what hasn't, and then you can move on. But if you haven't done that phase in the first phase, you know, you launch and you're completely blank because you don't get that information saying straight away, has it worked? What do I need to adjust? You know, you could then find out 6 months later, suddenly things aren't how you expect it.
Absolutely. So if you go into a company, presumably there's a lot of consultative type work that you're doing here up front to build the dashboard. So presumably when you go into a company, what's the process you go through? What's the kind of things that you go, right, we can get data from here, we can get feedback from there, we can get, you know, prices or whatever from there. How do you go about the process?
Yeah, well, I've got a 5-step process. So the first one is really a planning meeting.
I knew she'd have a plan. I knew she'd have a plan.
I want around my house right now.
So the first one really is about planning, sitting with the client, identifying the goal, deciding on the methods, what's realistic, what's not realistic. If it's something small, it could be quite self-contained. But obviously, if it's something quite big, we might say we need to break it down into these phases. But we'll pick on one, then I'll do some analysing. So they'll send me some data. I'll look at the initial data they've sent, go back with the series of questions saying, I don't understand that, that doesn't work, is this correct? And then after that, I'll kind of have a kind of result process where I review with them, say, this is where I've got to. And then we'll kind of say, actually, yep, I think you can get this data from this source, or you could combine it better that way to make it more meaningful with them. So in the end, I'll create some kind of final result, giving you a good picture of where you are with your data. And the last phase really is about implementing it in the business, how you're going to do that, and then a review process, how often do you need to renew the work.
Fantastic. And then do you plug in conventional data like profit and loss and balance sheets and things like that?
It really depends what they choose to do, because there is software that sits on top of the accounts packages that can do a lot of that, sort of those data dashboards. Or you might choose something like BI, you know, all the BI products that actually build a separate dashboard. So it depends how well set up they are and what they've got in place, and then what they want to do. Is it something they want to monitor and evaluate ongoing, or is it just a one-off exercise to look at one particular issue and then revisit it at a certain point?
That's fantastic.
You feel like you're in really safe hands with don't you? With
And
there's a plan, it's methodical, it's, you know, rather than just, you know, what I used to do with the small business, just,
It's interesting, isn't it? Because so many small businesses, I guess the vast majority of people starting a business don't go in it to be bookkeepers or data analysts. You know, if they're starting a florist business, they're starting it because they like flowers. If, you know, if you're selling roller skates, it's because you're a roller skater. And when you say to them, well, you have to do this, they all go, don't like that. It's like doing VAT, isn't it? You know, everybody likes to get their business to the point where they turn over enough to charge VAT, but they don't actually want to do the VAT returns because it's a pain in the bum. So you've got people that really try to avoid that kind of thing because it's not what they want to do. which makes it even more important that somebody does it for them, because it's crucial that you have that. You know, when I started my business, I hate numbers. I hate messing about with that. I'm a seat of the pants kind of person. But I learnt the hard way that if you don't keep track of what you're doing, you soon get into trouble. And whilst it's not what I went into business to do, and luckily I grew enough that I could get somebody else to do it for me. But the fact is, you need to know your numbers and you need to know where you are and you need to know what works and what doesn't. And if you don't, you can get into really big trouble for no good reason. The vast majority of businesses, people don't ever understand this, the vast majority of businesses in this country go bust because they don't manage their cash flow, not because they can't sell enough to customers, which is what everybody thinks is the problem. But it isn't. Quite often, they sell too much and they can't handle it. So I love what you're doing. I love the fact that you've kind of stopped doing the easy thing, which is bookkeeping, because everybody...
I haven't stopped yet.
Yeah, no, we haven't stopped it, but you've kind of gone, do you know what, I want to do what I want to do, and whilst it's easy to carry on doing bookkeeping, because there's a bazillion, you know, bookkeepers are like unicorn poo, there's not much around. Where did that come from?
Did you make that up?
Yeah, I think I did, yeah. It's interesting what you've done. So, and you launched in February.
I did, yes.
So what's been your experience so far?
I think it's the fact that with bookkeeping, it's a ready-made market. People know what a bookkeeper is, and if you need one, they phone me up. They don't want to talk to five different people who might do bookkeeping. If I sound reasonably confident, they'll just pick me.
Yeah.
Whereas obviously with data analytics, it's quite a different market. There aren't many data analytics companies around. And, so I'm very much trying to explain to people, educate them. I've been giving workshops, obviously coming here. Yeah. You know, so I'm trying to actually explain what I do in a more...
Absolutely. I would guess there's probably a market of almost zero of people who have gone, do you know what? I really need a data analytics person. Yeah.
So or a unicorn.
Or unicorn poo. Yeah. Although it is good for your flowers, apparently.
Yeah. Really?
If you could ever get any. Anyway, I empathize with that. When I launched my first business, which was an internet business, nobody had the internet and everybody just laughed at me when I said, no, it's on the internet. And they went, the internet what? Yeah. Really? No, that will never work. So I feel your pain. So it's an education process as much as anything, isn't it, and an awareness process of making people aware of what you do, why you do it, and how you do it.
Yeah.
How are you finding that so far? How are people reacting to it when you're telling them about it?
They're interested, but I think it's where I've gone. Every time I've given a talk, I've then had two or three really good contacts coming to me after the talk saying, I'm very interested, I can see this here. But I get that from doing the talks. I haven't got that from tweeting. I haven't got that from having a website. You know, I haven't had a website query yet. So.
Yeah. I guess a lot of that is because when you do something face-to-face like that, people can ask you intuitive questions.
So you went down a storm at Slopov, because I nearly forgot you, didn't you? Because it was a bit of a rowdy crew, as usual, and you were on the end, weren't you?
Hiding.
And, you were hiding, but you went down a storm.
I hope you got in with your pitch before they were all drunk.
I think that helped actually help my pitch quality.
She's a Faversham,
glass of white wine.
Faversham girl. But I wanted to ask you, so for a small business listening, what would be the startup cost to see you and where would you go? Do you have sliding scales or...?
I've kind of got an hourly rate, which is £50 an hour.
Okay, but
basically,
very reasonable.
It's a free consultation. Meet me and then decide where we go.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, I've got nothing set in stone. So, you know, someone could want me just for an hour a day or they could want me for a week.
Yeah.
So it's very much
nice
as they
flexible.
Use me.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Good. And can you remind me of your Twitter handle? Sorry.
It is at DeloData, ANALYT.
Okay.
I'm fascinated by this because it's such a useful thing to do, and it's such a interesting thing to do, even if you're not really a numbers person, to get a view, a helicopter view of your business. But it's also a scary thing. And I think that's one of the things you might need to overcome is people are going to go, I might find out I haven't got a business. Yeah. Or my business isn't ever going to go anywhere. And I think that could be quite scary too. When you might go and say to someone, do you know what? You're not doing this properly. But that is incredibly useful, because another thing that I find, and I don't know if you found this in your accounting work or your data analytics work or your work with a bank or whatever, quite often people undervalue what they sell. They don't sell it at the right price and are really scared to put the price up. And quite often they value their product or service too low in order to get the work.
Mm.
That's the wrong way to do it. Yeah. What you should do is charge top dollar and then negotiate downwards, because you can't negotiate up.
Yeah,
you can't say I charge £20 an hour and then go, actually, for you, it's 30.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you could, but you wouldn't get the work.
Once you're on that rate, it's really hard to go up.
Mind you, I have actually done that.
Have you?
Yeah, I actually did that. Years ago, I used to work as a motivational speaker, and I was approached. Sorry if you're listening. I was approached once, a really urgent request. Could you come and speak at an event in Darlington on a Friday night in November? Really? I really
I'm sorry if you're listening in Darlington.
Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with Darlington. I like Darlington. They're all right up north.
It's just November,
but it was just a Friday night in November at a particular place I really didn't want to go, and I just thought, you know what, I really don't fancy that gig. But I never turn anything down. So without being funny, my normal fees at the time were $3,000, okay? So I went, yeah, well, I can make it. It'll be $6,000. And I thought that'll put an end to that. And they went, oh, brilliant, yeah. Damn. So I did it. But on the whole, you can't normally upscale your prices. You can downscale. And therefore, a lot of what you're doing, I think, people need to think about the benefits of having someone like you and how you can actually structure your pricing in a better way. If you've got a more complete data, you've got a better understanding of what it is you're selling, how you're selling it, and what it's worth.
Yeah? About two-thirds of what I find out for people, they say, yep, I knew that, that confirms what I'm doing. It's that reassurance, having been completely independently checked. And about a third of it, they're saying, no, I'm amazed, I never thought of that, I didn't realise that was bringing so much into my business.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting, the reactions. People get that some confidence, that actually proves what I'm doing is working, or actually, I never saw that as an opportunity, and now I can see it.
Mm. And obviously, you've gained all of this experience working for large organisations that are data intensive, like banks, and you say insurance companies you work for as well.
Which
do those kind of analytics, you know, ad infinitum, because they can and they do, and there's a lot of data sloshing about over who's what. Smaller businesses don't even tend to think about it very much, but it's a very powerful tool to be able to analyse what it is you're doing and to analyse the market you're in. To analyse the market you're in and the feeds that come into whatever you're doing is really important.
I like the fact that Lucia's, you know, talking about targeting your customers, actually thinking about who you want to work with as well, and the price.
Well, this is a massive thing that you hear so often. When I talk, people come to me and they go, I've got a business idea. And you go, okay, what is it? And they tell me, and I go, yeah, okay, sounds all right. Who are you going to sell this to? Anyone. And you go, no, you can't sell it to anyone. Yeah, no, anyone. I understand what they're saying. Anyone that will fork out the money is just fine. But you can't build a business like that. You can't build a business on selling to anyone, because that just disrupts what you're doing. You've got to know who your target market is. Yeah. If somebody random comes along and buys the product, that's fine. Yeah. And you might even generate a whole new market that you've never thought of. But the reality is you have to know who your target is. And therefore you need good data analytics. So I'm totally on board with this. Are you intended, Lucia, to actually start to incorporate things like web statistics and social media statistics into the overall dashboard?
Yes, but I'm also intending to build relationships with marketers, accountants, coaches.
Right.
So people who've got customers who they're already working with but can't get to the analytics.
See, the thing is, she's thought about her business, hasn't she? I don't know why she did that.
No, I don't know why.
She's actually thought about her business.
She's thought about the data.
Yeah. She's actually analysed it, hasn't she? And all kinds.
Yeah. I don't want to be a coach or a marketer. Yeah. But I want to help those people as well with their clients. And obviously, they've got a source of ready-made clients who might need my services. So rather me as well as the individuals.
Oh, that's clever. Oh, that is clever. That is collaborative associative marketing, and that is very clever.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Being serious for a moment, you're absolutely right. You know, those kind of people, it adds a benefit to what they're doing because it can justify what they're doing. It gives you a route to clients that are that way inclined, i.e. people that are likely to buy that kind of stuff. So I love that. Yeah. No, that's cool. February. Mm-hmm. Well, very much 2.5 months.
It's an Easter holiday to Thailand in between.
Yeah, it's a nice time to start. Yeah. Well, it gave you breathing space, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah. So, Your marketing strategy, obviously, is to get this in front of people. And as you just rightly said, one of the best ways of doing that, because it's a fairly complicated product that you're offering, isn't it, really, in terms of why, you know, it's not like going, I sell T-shirts.
Yeah,
why
but do Lucia you do? Makes it not complicated. I feel like I would just hand it over to her and let her get on.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Amazing.
Absolutely. And I think the issue is, though, is getting people to understand what she does and why it's relevant to them. Because a lot of people go,
data analytics.
Data, you know, I've got a bookkeeper. Yeah. You know,
I got a shoebox.
It's understanding the power of data that you have at your fingertips. Mm-hmm. And if you organize it, what it can tell you about your business. But it's not only what it tells you about what's happened in your business. That's the key thing. It isn't just saying, this is what you did last year and this is why you didn't make any money, or this is why you owe the inland revenue X amount. It's much more than that. It's a tool or a set of tools or a dashboard that says, where do I go next? How do I grow from where I am, and what's the best way of doing that? Yeah. And you've got to explain that to people. It's not a simple put out an advert on TV or radio and people go, oh, yeah, I need that. It's an explanation. It's a relationship sell.
Yeah.
And I get that. So I guess you're trying to get in front of people at various events and stuff. Don't go to Slopeoff. They're all drunk. It's not worth it.
She had a ball.
I did have a ball.
She mingled.
They were lovely people.
And she's going to come again, aren't you? June 7th at the Small Holding.
I don't know about that. Faversham.
She likes Faversham. Yeah. Where you can walk home.
Absolutely.
But there are lots of other events that take place in Kent, and getting you speaking at them is probably the thing. So if you're running networking events or any kind of events and you want someone different to come and talk, and we do always need someone different, Lucia's available to come and explain about data analytics and the whole data mining world, which is a fascinating world. So Lucia, if people want to find out more about Dello Data Analytics, what's the best way to do that?
I've got my website, which is www.dellodataanalytics.co.uk.
That's DELLO.
Yep.
Dataanalytics.co.uk. There's a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website.
Yep. I'm also just newly joined on Twitter.
Right.
I've got a LinkedIn profile as well, and I've got a telephone number, so...
Oh, a telephone. Well, there's a newfangled thing.
Yeah.
Remember those?
Stunning, isn't it?
All of those contacts are probably on your website as well, are they not? Yeah. So check out the website, dellodataanalytics.co.uk. Mm-hmm. There's a link to it on the Kent Business Radio website. That link will stay there forever and ever and ever. So if you want to find out more, do check it out. Take a look. Have a look. For the moment, Lucia, thank you so much for that. It's a pleasure to hear from you. Love what you're doing. Think it's a really, really brilliant idea. And we wish you much success with it.
Thank you, Paul and Jules.
You had 35 live viewers there. Live viewers all.
On
my feed, on my Twitter feed. And Neville Gaunt said he'd listening in and was really great. And he made quite a few other comments, which I'll try and send you.
Thank you very
much. Did he make them on Twitter?
Yeah. On my feed. I'll send it.
Okay, cool.
Also, you had a watcher in Brazil.
Gosh.
Long way to travel. Maybe you get a free holiday there.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. On our way to Rio, then. Yeah,
oh, and good. Nurse Liz was watching from Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, 3535.
She's a regular listener, yeah.
Good stuff. That's fantastic. We've got a few minutes before we join the newsroom. So I want to tell you about something that's coming up in September, which is a first for Kent and the southeast of England. It's the Tech Expo UK, and it's happening at the Clive Empson Suite at the Kent Event Centre. That's at the Agricultural Ground at Detlin there, just outside Maidstone. And it's taking place on Thursday, the 26th of September, between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Oh, you're going to need to be here at this, Lucia. It's the first ever event of its kind in the southeast of England. It's a full-day exhibition for business owners wanting to connect with suppliers who can help them run, build and grow their business using the power of technology. You can meet with over 100 suppliers from different sectors of technology, including IT, IT support, cybersecurity, software, digital marketing, online accountancy, analytics. I added that myself. You can hear from 5 fantastic speakers and take part in 5 interactive workshops. The speakers are, the keynote speaker is Brian Sutton, who's from Microsoft, and here's how Microsoft is developing to help your business. Richard Bell, who's the Chief Technology Officer of 10 Intelligence, talking about cybersecurity. Ben Abbott, who's the Chief Executive of Maximum Media, getting your business ready for voice technology. That's using things like Alexa and the, what's the Google version of Alexa? I can't remember what it's called. Alexa's Amazon, but what's the Google one called? I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, Google Play.
Google Play, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that.
Yeah. I just spend all my time arguing with my Alexa. Because she says she doesn't know things, that she's just played, you know, a song.
Yeah.
And I ask her to play it again, and she says, I don't know that, sorry.
You go, yes, you do, you silly mare. You just played it. And she goes, don't you call me a mare, a female horse.
And they listen in, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, Will Charlesworth from Cripps Law, talking about digital law and IP. Bill Burton from Dale Carnegie. This is an interesting take on a technology expo. Being human in a digital world. How to win friends and influence people.
Yeah.
There's also going to be workshops, and the workshops are run by Amy McManus of AM Marketing, who's a Google partner. And she's going to be talking about keeping your business ahead in the digital marketing game. Aaron Taylor, who's the CEO of 6-2 Technology. Stop the sales pitch, start the conversation. Mike Hacker, commonly known to everyone else in the world as Hacks, of Prisma Broadcast, how the proper use of video can propel your business. The absolutely fantastic international speaker, and head of ZC Social Media, the lovely Zoe Cairns, having an adaptable content strategy plan. And then Claire Derbyshire, who's from LinkedIn, who's going to be talking about how to use LinkedIn effectively in your business. So there are the workshops, there are speakers. It's a whole day event. If you're a supplier or you work in that industry, then there are still stand spaces available. If you want to just attend, it's totally free to attend. All the details can be found on the website, which is techexpouk.com. Techexpouk.com. Check it out.
Can you answer my airdrop as well, iPhone 6, while you're presenting the show? Because I'm trying to send you Lucia's little thing.
You're trying to send them to me? Yeah. I thought you were going to send them to Lucia.
Well, I will. But I'm sending to you as well. So
I haven't got it yet. Anyway, you can read one tweet or something very quickly before we join the newsroom.
Who's got an iPhone 6 waiting? Should be sending it to them anyway. I think it's you. You're invited to attend an MBA lecture.
Oh, it's my old phone.
Got that anymore?
No, that's why.
Why is it showing up?
Because it's there.
Oh, there's another one. Yeah, Paul 7. No, that's you. Okay, so you're getting it now. You're invited to attend an MBA lecture on strategic leadership in an era of digital transformation on the 8th of May, which is manana.
It's even tomorrow.
Yeah, 8th of May. It's at Kent Business School, University of Kent, Canterbury. And to book, you can go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS. That's manana. And it's an MBA lecture on strategic leadership in an era of digital transformation.
Fantastic.
That's very highbrow, that.
No, they're good fun. They're really good fun. They're completely free events and they run loads and loads of them.
Good.
If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS, there's a whole list of all the ones that are coming up over the rest of the year. And then as the booking becomes available, we'll put the booking details up as well. And we've got some people coming on the show later in the year talking about some of those events. But do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage?
No.
News?
We're going to join the newsroom.
Weather?
No, we're going to join the newsroom. We are actually really going to join.
I wonder what the baby's called. Ebenezer or something, the baby. The royal baby, I wonder what it's called. Work with me.
Barry, Prince Barry.
No.